Hello, everyone. Welcome to In the Huddle with Lerone Coach Jennings, and we have a very special guest with us today, and that is none other than Professor LaTonya Pinker. Hello, Professor. How are you?
Good evening. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing even better. Thinking about having you on the show and you sharing your experiences and expertise in the area of education and your passion for learning and helping young people and even adults learn. So before we get started in the show, give us a little brief background information so our listening audience will know a little bit about who we're speaking to today. Give us a little background information. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I am LaTonya Pinkert, or Professor Pinkert. And just so happened, I was featured on an Emmy-nominated docu-series called Last Chance You. Some of you may be familiar with me by Miss P. I am she. I have about 15 years of education under my belt. Literacy is so important. I can't even explain the passion I have to make sure that people are not left behind. I take it very seriously. I take it personally. And I want to be an education warrior to help people get a step up, not be behind, not fall into negative statistics. So I'm that person to encourage you, motivate you, boot camp you into a beautiful world of education.
That is awesome. And you're presently teaching where? What is your educational experiences at this time?
Well, right now I'm teaching at Independence Community College, online associate professor in English.
And where is Independence College located?
Independence, Kansas.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And mm-hmm. and you've been doing that for how long?
I've been there since 2015.
All right. You've taught at some other places, too. You'd like to share those?
Yeah, I've taught at, when I lived in Georgia, I taught at Gwinnett Technical Community College. There I taught English as well as ESL. I've taught middle school, seventh grade language arts in Alpharetta, Georgia. I've taught at Kennesaw State University. Basically from the, what's the saying, from the beginning to college, from the rooter to the end, I don't know how that saying goes, but I've taught from daycare to college. So I have
right?
a range of education and expertise under my belt.
Well, tell us, how did you become so passionate about teaching and education being something that would help people move forward in our society? Why did that grab a hold to you, and when did it grab a hold to you? For you to become so passionate about it?
I believe it. I had to been a student at Georgia State University when I realized I wanted to major in English. First of all, it's important that everyone knows how to speak well and write well. And I tell people, like I said on the show, I'm a Southern girl. And so every now and then you may hear country vernacular come out of my mouth, but that's because I appreciate where I've come from, and I don't want to lose that part of me. That's just who I am. But I know how to speak and write in professional environments. And again, I would say Georgia State University, I thought I have to go into English because everyone has to cross my path at some point in their education. Well, not my path, but an English instructor.
Yeah. And you wanted to be part of transforming people's lives. Area of literacy and English education.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So at some of the schools I've taught at, I've seen students that, again, were left behind. They may have come to the community college level without the proper tools to succeed. And that's one reason why I want to stay at the community college level, because I can catch some of those students there and help them grow and be more confident when they move on to their four-year university.
Yeah, but you can teach literacy and reading, language arts at every level. That's important for all students to get a good grasp on.
Exactly. And yeah. when I found out, or when I read about, as everyone else probably did too, when they started building prisons based on the third grade reading level.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
At that point in time, to say, no, that makes no sense. That makes no sense to plan a prison based on a student's reading level.
Right. And that motivated you and me to take a closer look at what we can do to bring a change about that. It shouldn't be determining our children's future in prison because they can't read or they're illiterate.
And exactly.
Far behind in their education, and particularly their reading skills. Because reading is the foundation to everything else, would you say?
I definitely agree with that. I definitely would agree with that. And I've told my students, you know, English, some people will say, oh, I'd be glad when I get out of Comp 1 or Comp 2, I'll be done with English. No, my dear, you will not be done with English, possibly ever, because as long as you live, you're going to write, you're going to submit a resume, you're going to submit a cover letter, you're going to put yourself on paper.
That's right.
You're going to meet people. And my brother taught me a long time ago, first impressions all the time, and you need to know how to carry yourself in a professional manner. We all know how to carry ourselves in a friend manner, conversational, but to be able to shift gears and hold a conversation to move up in the world, you definitely need reading, writing, the basics.
Absolutely. Now, when you got hooked on this passion, did you know what you was going to do with it? Did you know how you was going to begin to influence others to love it? Or even if they didn't love it, realize that they need it and they got to do something to get it? And you was going to be that warrior you talked about, that educational warrior, that literacy warrior, right, that would wage war on their mind to get it?
You know, I've had quite a few students to probably roll their eyes at me. I'm like, oh my God, she's crazy. But the end result was growth and success. And as long as your end result is growth and success, roll your eyes at me, talk about me all you want. At the end of the day, you have learned a lot by the time you leave my classroom. I know. I had a developmental class at one of the colleges I taught at in Georgia.
And a developmental class?
Developmental English. Developmental English. And they had to test out in order to go to Comp 1. And I had a 99% pass rate. What happened, I went into my boot camp mode near the end of the semester.
Yeah.
And so boot camp mode is no holds barred. I'm not your friend anymore. We have to get this done. And I need you to understand that I'm coming from a place of love, not of I'm upset with you.
Yeah. You sound like coach. You sound like the coach here.
Right. I want you to. So I'm an academic coach. Yes. And so they turned in a paper and I didn't like it. And even at Independence Community College, you could probably check with some students. If they turned in a paper, I didn't like it, I would take it, ball it up, and throw it away and say, try it again.
Yeah. That's the kind of language my players use on me. And even people to this day say, you get in that coach mode and you don't play. You don't take stuff and you don't you're not smiling, you're nobody's friend, you pushing people to get the job done. I'm like,
that's it.
If you're gonna go to the top, you got to have serious focus sometimes and don't be playing around and don't waste any time.
Exactly.
So I'm going to, your nickname, you just gave yourself a nickname that kind of stuck in my head.
Lord.
The educational warrior.
Yes.
And you're waging war on the minds of our young.
Yes.
And challenging them to become professionally literate in their reading and writing and academic skills. So that's pretty good.
Thank you.
What's your weapon of choice?
Oh my gosh. You know, just bring a book, a notebook, and a piece of paper, and a notebook, pen, pencil. I got you.
You got them.
I got you.
I don't ask for much. You can wage war for real, right?
That's it.
Yeah, that's great. What type of support did you get from your upbringing? Did your background have much to do with the path that you have taken and the influences that you had coming up through your early years as in education?
When I was, I think it was Whitmore Elementary, I loved reading. I loved reading. I remember my mom would take us to the Chattanooga Public Library on Saturdays to check out all the books we wanted, and they had reading room on Saturdays. And I looked forward to the reading room on Saturdays. Really? So I would say it began there, and I just grew into it. I loved reading aloud in class. I loved discussing stories. When I got into middle school, I wrote a play. And a friend of mine, we directed the play in middle school.
Really?
It's always been a passion. I would say my parents, they've instilled in me to keep pushing. Keep pushing. And don't have anyone. Give everything you got. And my biblical principles is, I work for the Lord to his glory. So yeah. I can't shortchange God.
Amen. That'll preach there.
Right? I cannot shortchange him.
You got a little preacher in you too, huh?
A tad bit, just a little bit. If you ask me where scripture is, I'm like, I don't know, but I can paraphrase it for you.
That's good enough. All right. The principle is the main thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So when your students, if I was to ask several of your students, what about Professor Pinker? What do you think about her? What would they say? How would they characterize you as a professor of learning?
They would probably say, man, she's hard. She's challenging. She's real cool. She's nice. And she makes sure that we get it.
Yeah.
She makes sure that we get it.
That's right. So, and you have to teach. And you're not one of those type of professors that don't mind reteaching if you have to in order for your students to grab a hold to it.
Not at all. And that's why I sit with most of my students one-on-one, because you cannot hide from me at all. So if you come into my classroom, some students may duck or dodge or feel like they won't be called upon. There is no hiding in my classroom. I will sit with you. I will come and sit with you. I will have you come sit with me at the desk. We're one-on-one throughout the semester to make sure you understand it.
Make
sure you understand it.
That is awesome. You remind me of one of the teachers that I had. To tell you the truth, I did not like her early on. She was real tough, real strict, no nonsense. But you know what? As I got older and began to apply what she was teaching or had taught me, I realized that she was the best thing for me.
Right.
And I did not let slip and slide and get away with anything. I'm grateful for that. Thank God for teachers like you.
And I appreciate the comparison.
yeah. And who has a heart and a passion and refuse to allow their students to fail, not be successful. You're tough, but you got a little compassion to go with it, right?
Definitely. Because I was cooking, even at the college, I would cook for my students. So
really?
I would cook.
That was part of your strategy to reel them in.
Well, know, because many of them, you know, they come from different places across the nation. And I know they got tired of the cafeteria food. And so I thought, I'm here by myself. My kids are there. Let me cook. Let me just cook a meal one day. So I started out with maybe chicken tenders. And then from there, it morphed into macaroni and cheese. And then it morphed into this and then this. And but I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it.
If you cook, they will learn.
They will learn.
But it had to be some good cooking, though.
I'm from the South, of course.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't have a professor that would cook for us back in the day at Fisk University, but I did have a couple of professors that would take us out to eat.
Right.
They would take us out to the restaurant to eat. That was something that was really pretty cool. Hey, Professor, we're going to take a break right here.
Okay.
But stay with us. We're going to be right back, and we're going to take a HBCU break. But okay. Stay with us. Hey, listening audience, this is Lerone Coach Jennings, and you're in the huddle. Our special guest, Professor LaTonya Hinkert, will be right back. Okay, welcome back to In the Huddle with Lerone Coach Jennings. And our special guest today is Professor LaTonya Pinkert. She's with Independence Community College, all the way in Independence, Kansas?
Yes.
Yes. That's a long way from your southern roots, huh?
Ooh, yes. The culture shock I faced when I arrived in Independence, Kansas was unreal.
Is that close to, what's the name of the Wizard of Oz young lady? Was that close?
You know what? Dorothy, was that close to?
Yeah.
Not Dorothy, but Laura Ingalls from Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
That's where she was born, Independence, Kansas.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Had you heard of it before you went there?
Not at all. Not at all. When I started looking for jobs, I don't mind traveling and experiencing different cultures and different people. I feel that's how you grow. And so I applied for jobs. But before I applied for a job, I prayed to God to send me somewhere where I can be a blessing to others and also receive blessings in return.
Yeah.
And I applied for my job. I was called for an interview. They asked me if I wanted the position. I said yes. And here we are.
All right. Well, talk to us a little bit about getting to Independence, Kansas, taking a position, and you're teaching virtual classes now. And
correct.
At one time, you was there physically before COVID-19. Is that correct?
Correct.
COVID-19 has changed the game for all of us everywhere.
Ooh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what is your teaching going to be like virtually versus the physical touch that you had? How do you see things changing as it relates to your impact?
Okay. As an educator, one thing you must be able to do at the drop of a dime is adapt.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to be able to adapt in that moment as need be and not miss a beat, because you don't want people to see that you're not sure of what you're doing. Because I have taught online and my classes were online, it hasn't been critical. I haven't faced any type of situation where I'm not available or I don't know what I'm doing. Because I have a good grasp of how to teach online, the knowledge is just transferred. Instead of being face-to-face, we're just virtual now. And it's the same. I'm still the same teacher. I provide feedback to all my students. I'm there. If you need me, email me. If I see a student that's weak in a particular area, I'll ask the student to email me for extra work, for extra help. And I put that accountability onto the student. So I'm still very present.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned something earlier, and when I did my research on you, mm-hmm. I discovered that you was also a well-respected actor. But you wasn't really acting. But you was recruited to be a part of a docuseries that appeared on Netflix.
Yes.
As what? Professor P.
Yes.
How did they discover you? What was the process of being discovered to be invited to be exposed to type of experience?
Okay. When they came into campus, this is hearsay, when they came into campus, the apartment I was living in, she reached out to the production company because they were talking to her about something. And so she informed them of me first. And she said, have they talked to you yet? And I said, who? She said, Netflix. I said, well, no, they haven't. And I just went on about my merry way. I didn't know anything really about Last Chance U. I hadn't, okay, so to just tell my little secret, I hadn't watched the previous seasons of Last Chance U. And I did say that out loud, forgive me. So after she had put that little bug in their ear, they came onto campus, and a lot of other students evidently must have been talking about Miss P, Miss P, Miss P, Miss P, Miss P. And so they were trying to figure out, well, who is this Miss P? Emmett Gooden, he saw me one day. He said, Miss P, they're looking for you. I said, well, who's looking for me? He said, the Netflix crew, Last Chance U. I said, oh, okay. I said, well, where are they? He said, they're over there in the gym. I said, well, if they want to find me, they'll find me. And they did.
And that was the name of the show, Last Chance U?
Last Chance U. And okay. So day one of school, they found me. We had a conversation. I told them I did not mind if they followed me to my classes. I didn't mind at all. And I'm an introvert, so it was a lot for me to have them to mic me up and follow me around. But they were so professional with how they handled everything. I love the crew. I love what they've done. They captured the beautiful essence of everyone on the show. But day one, when they mic me up, I'm unaware of how everything works. So we have the mic on, and I didn't realize how hot this mic pack get. It was day one of filming. So I'm burning up trying to teach my class day one and not show that my back is on fire. I'm like, do I have a third degree burn on my back? So I'm trying to play everything off.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm having a moment. But it was a beautiful experience. They followed me for 16 weeks.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And how many of the series did you appear on?
I think I appeared for season 3. I believe I appeared on maybe 7, if not all of them, 7 of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you was basically doing what you normally do.
Teach. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you didn't have to do anything different other than motivate, inspire, and teach children or students mm-hmm. What they was responsible for learning.
That's it.
Yeah. Now, what type of reaction did the students give you as a result of seeing you on Netflix and knowing that you had brought that kind of attention, even to the university?
Well, the students, many of them were, you know, extremely respectful because they're familiar with me. And I didn't try to act, oh, star status. I'm still Miss P. I'm still Miss P. If you're still hungry, let me know and I'll fix you a meal. I'm still the same person. So nothing changed. Nothing really changed.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So mm-hmm. Is Last Chance U still running?
They are. I believe that this is the last season that's coming out this year of football. And they're going to go into filming basketball. And they were in California, I believe, for the final season of football.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I understand you had the privilege of motivating and inspiring some of those football players to be more academic savvy. Some of them was a little bit not motivated. Mm-hmm. And not only was you the professor of academics, you ended up being part of the athletic team, motivating and inspiring them as a coach, right? Talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, what happened in the classroom, because I had a lot of athletes from across the nation. And this is another reason I'm so passionate about literacy and reading. What I discovered, a lot of the young men had not read a book since maybe junior high school, if not elementary school. And I thought, this is a problem. This is a problem. I need to address this some sort of way. Yeah. And that made me become more of a coach in the classroom, because I know that's what they react to. And again, coming from a place of love. And one class, I think we had a challenge. I wanted them to do something for me. And I said, I tell you what, you all are coming into my world trying to learn English. I'm going to come into your world and try to learn to play for football.
Yeah.
And so we had the challenge, and I think I took about maybe, it was supposed to be 2 weeks, but I needed 3 weeks because I had a hard time trying to find somebody. So when the challenge happened, all the athletes in the classroom, they said, okay, nobody help her, let her figure it out. And I thought, wait a minute, that's not fair. Let her figure out how to learn this play. And so I became a student trying to get into the world of an athlete trying to learn this play in a short amount of time. And I didn't have any help from none of my students at all. So I had to find coaches, and I would stop them in the hallway, like some students would do, stop in the hallway and ask for information. Yeah. Well, if you're in the hallway, there's not much we can do in the hallway, make an appointment. So I figured, well, I'm a teacher here. Surely you'll help me in the hallway with this play so I can learn to prove to my students that I not only do I have my my skill mastered, I can learn your skill too. So awesome. I stopped the coach in the hallway. He didn't have time for me because that's not what you're supposed to do. But he told me to make an appointment, come by his office. Long story short, I spoke with two or three different coaches. They took the time. They sat down with me to help me learn and understand the play. And then they told me who all was playing in the positions so I can address who was not playing or performing right on the field. So I'm a holistic coach. I'll do whatever I can to make sure you get it. So again, after I wrote the play on the board, letting them see that I understood and can tell you about your play and what you did wrong, then at least give back to me. Give back to me and be a great student. That's all I ask.
Oh, you had them then, because that's what I was talking about earlier, the type of professor you are, and that I remember inspiring and motivating me. These you got in their world. What was important to them and what they love, you became a part of it to learn what they was interested in order to get them interested in what you were interested in and they needed to be.
Exactly.
That was brilliant.
Thank you. And no, I was going to say, as I was going over a particular element in English, I used the X's and O's, I guess the offense and defense, as parts of an essay. So I just broke everything down so they could understand it.
Yeah, you made it, you spoke their language.
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
That is awesome.
And after learning the play, what I realized, if you can learn this play in a short time frame, practice this play, execute this play in front of people, you're smart. You're a very smart individual.
Absolutely. I've said that for years as a coach, professor, the kind of things that we had to learn as an athlete, all the plays, and you had to do it split second, thinking on your feet, you're moving, and you're thinking, and you're making decisions, and that takes a lot. You got to learn a playbook. Because you have to be able to adapt and call the plays based on your opponent's tendencies and your opponent's strategies in order to be successful. So I'm with you. And I think more academic teachers need to consider those type of strategies along with their coaches. That works so well with all the teachers, regardless of what they taught. When I was coaching my athletes, and even in the game of life, You know, you just got to work well with people and speak people's language in mm-hmm. order to motivate them and inspire them.
Right, right.
Before we go to break and talk about In the Huddle and your involvement with it now, mm-hmm. I want you to tell us why was it important for you to push those athletes and get their world, experience what they experienced, and the satisfaction you got out of seeing them respond to it, respect it, and then come back in your world and become successful?
You said, how did I react?
Yeah, what was that reaction as it relates to how it played out? What you experienced and what they showed you that they could possibly do once they came back into your classroom alone.
You know, when they laughed, you know, after all of that happened, they laughed and said, okay, we got it. Because they realized at that point, I'm for them and not against them. And I would say the reward of, you know, speaking just with athletes, the reward of having an athlete in class, and because football or basketball or whatever has consumed them so, not all, but a few, again, are coming to community college lacking the reading and writing and math skills that they should have.
Yeah, yeah.
And in that short amount of time, with by any means necessary, I get them to that end, the 16 weeks for the final exam. When I get them to the end and they have it, not only do they have it, but they can explain it back to me, what they've learned.
Yeah.
It's priceless.
Yeah. It's priceless. That's the greatest joy an educator can have, an experience when they see their students. Not only do they get it, but they can teach it to somebody else. They can help a student or another person get it. Mm-hmm. Developmental classes. Did you see those developmental classes being prevalent in most of the colleges that you serve?
I do. Because a lot of students do come in, maybe not with the best grammar knowledge, maybe not with the best essay writing knowledge, or maybe not with the best reading comprehension. And so having those developmental classes will help boost that deficiency so they're more prepared for Comp 1 and will be successful in it.
Well, you got Coach here excited about who you are and your passion for learning, helping students be smarter and families stronger.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about the platform that you're going to help us with after this break.
All right.
This is Lerone Coach Jennings, and you're in the huddle with our special guest, Tanya Pinkett. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to In the Huddle. This is Lerone Coach Jennings, and our special guest today is the one and only Professor Latanya Pinkett from Independence, Kansas, with Independence Community College, teaching young people the importance of learning, particular language arts, English, reading, literacy, the whole nine yards there. And not only that, she has appeared on Last Chance U with Netflix. She's also one of their superstar actors. Without even acting.
Right, I know, right?
She didn't even have to act. She just did her thing, what she normally do every day, and she became a rock star on Last Chance U. That is exciting. use your skills and talent. Hey, let's talk a little bit about, you have agreed with me to work with In the Huddle.
Yes.
And particularly with In the Huddle Academy.
Yes.
You're our Dean of Academic Affairs, and you're going to help us develop curriculum, courses that's going to reach many students and adults in their academic needs.
Yes.
So tell me, I don't know about you, but I'm so excited about that as our academic dean and developing the content for our virtual school in the Huddle Academy. Why are you doing this? What has motivated you and inspired you to join up with Coach and in the Huddle as a platform to do what you're doing?
You know, during COVID, I've done a lot. I will say I've made homemade soap. I've made candles. I've been busy. But in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking, what else can I do? What else can I do? What else can I do to help? I don't want our babies left behind, especially during COVID. A lot of underrepresented, a lot of people, a lot of students will be left behind. They will be.
Yeah.
If they're left behind in a regular school year, they're going to be left behind during a virtual school year. So I'm thinking, what else can I do? Because it's going to get bad. How can I help? And my sister, she's told me to contact you. And it was a blessing that we have gotten in touch with one another.
Yeah.
Because we have the same passion to help students become better.
Absolutely.
We're going to enhance their learning. We're going to complement their learning. We're going to give them more confidence when they step into the classroom. And they can say, I already know that material. I know what you're doing now. I got it.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud to be part of that to help so many people across the nation.
Well, that is exciting, and I becoming one of our affiliates, with HBCU Nation, who has a great vision with Pastor Anthony and Sonya Ray with their HBCU Nation, giving us the platform to broadcast, and we're expanding on it with programs and services like and people like you to even help us do great things in the Huddle, address issues that is plaguing our country and society as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I'm so fired up and excited, and I was telling them about it as well, our executive producers, and they welcome you to be part of In the Huddle.
Thank you. I'm proud to be part of this. I really am.
Yeah. What your sister think about when you told her that you had made that commitment?
I did. You know, she's proud. She said this is going to be a wonderful collaboration, and she's excited for it. Like I'm really excited. I can't wait to publish and push this out there. I'm excited because a lot of people will benefit.
Yeah,
a lot of people benefit.
Yeah. So listen, audience, we're developing a virtual school, Professor Latonya Pinkert, our Dean of Academic Affairs for In the Huddle Academy. And these classes, courses, curriculum will be made available probably in just a few weeks. We'll have something out on the market. We have classes that are free of charge for people to be informed, inspired, and motivated for self-help opportunities. And then there will be classes that will cost a fee that will help you advance your academic skills based on your needs. And we're going to be developing material that will be helpful to you, inspirational to you, advantageous to you to become a more informed and educated individual, understanding how the world and the system operate and work for your own success and progress. So, Professor?
Yes.
The Professor of Educational Warrior.
Yes, Educational Warrior. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're going to be pushing it out and really inspiring individuals to participate. So, What do you have to say for those individuals out there listening and waiting for the content and information that you are helping in the huddle develop?
I would say, you know, check out the site, check out our information, join the academy. It's going to be a benefit to you. Like I said, it's going to give you the confidence that we need in our community as a people to know that I can learn, I am smart, I can do this.
Absolutely.
And we're going to create a beautiful world of literacy. It's so important. And it doesn't matter the age, because I have something for adult literacy, which I prefer to have live, because some people as adults, they don't want to possibly go get their GED for whatever reason. But if we can provide you with the tools, again, to make you feel confident and successful in your everyday life, please join us in the Huddle Academy.
That is awesome. And one thing I'd like to talk about too is, in light of this racial tension that we've experienced in our country right now because of the injustices of years past, that has caught up with us again in a very significant way. At a time we've come a long way, but we got to even go a lot further.
Exactly.
And why is it so critical for education to play a role in the deliverance of people's mind, spirit, and even their anger and frustration, and right. understanding how this American way of life and system that was really socially engineered to kind of hinder, handicap, and oppress people of color for years to come, even now, what we experience. But not to be angry as much as we need to be strategic in continuing to overcome this oppression and these systemic and institutional racism that we experience in this country. So why and how does your role as an educator play in moving us forward even more?
Well, first I would say education is very important during this movement right now, because you have to be knowledgeable about what has happened in the past. You have to be knowledgeable and understand how to do the research to educate someone else. Because if you're only going by what your mama said, what your cousin said, and hearsay, I'm not going to believe you. But if you're coming with reputable, credible information
that you've taken
the time to gather, to introduce to me, because I may not be aware, then I'm going to believe you more, and I'm going to probably become more of an ally for you. So education plays a huge role in what's happening. And again, because there is going to be, because of COVID, there is going to be this, and I hate to say it, but, you know, kids left behind or people left behind. You have to find some platform. You have to find some sort of way to get your education, to read a book. You have to do research. It's so important. It's so very important.
So those of you out there listening and tuned in to In the Huddle with Professor LaTonya Pinkert, you see how we are trying to assemble a team of knowledgeable and educated yet passionate people who want to see the world in a better place. God has gifted all of us in some capacity. Some way we all have something to offer.
Mm-hmm.
All have a way, maybe a little different in terms of the role that you play and the position you play on the team for God's glory and for mankind's good.
Mm-hmm.
So we would encourage you to find your place and use your talent.
Mm-hmm.
Plug in to someone, organization, or church, or some type of credible platform, so where you can use your talent.
Right.
All right. You got the last comment. Leave us with the final comment, and I have a little pep talk I'd like to share with the audience, and we'll be signing off.
Well, first, during this time, you know, we've all heard the slogan, we're in this together, and truly we are. Continue to stay safe, stay positive. If you need to talk to someone, call someone. Don't be afraid. And enjoy life to the fullest, because we only get one life. We live every day, so live.
Amen. Well, you know, Scripture reminds us that we can do all things through Christ. And I'm here to encourage you to be strong and be vigilant. God has given you to do. And exercise your God-given talent to make a difference. Psychologist Joyce Brothers says it this way. Success is a state of mind. If you want success, start thinking of yourself as success. We're very gifted and talented. God created us in his own image, and we can do anything we want. And also reminded him, as a man thinketh, so is he. So think on yourself. Think on the things of God. Don't get weary. This is Aron Coach Denny, and you have been with us in the huddle, featuring Professor LaTanya King. Thank you for tuning in, and you'll hear from us next time. God bless you.
Take care.